corporate culture change, and Lourdes will introduce her subject. So I will say a couple of words about Lourdes. So this is Lourdes Cabario, I hope I pronounce it well. Lourdes is dedicated of the development of people and teams in organizations. She is the PCC coach and SAN educator in training. Some of the topics that interest her most are systematic coaching, company culture, and development of new ways of working and leading. In this teleclass, she will focus on the intersection between coaching and corporate culture in her practice with individual and team. Let's see.
So thank you, Orta.
Let's enjoy. Welcome. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Now that you were reading it, I realized that there were three C's, corporate culture change. It looks quite heavy. Sorry for that. Well, first of all, I have to tell you that this is my first teleclass, and this is the first time I put together this presentation, so I don't know what's going to happen. Just, I'll try to do my best. I will share with you what I've investigated, and I would like that this 1 hour teleclass will be more like a conversation where we could all put, exchange ideas, because I think I have lots of questions and very few answers. So maybe together we can create maybe new questions or more answers. I don't know. So I'll share the presentation. During my speech, if you want to talk or you want to ask me something, please don't worry and interrupt me. And what else? Well, as you see, my English is not very good. I hope you understand. And some of the words in the presentation are a little bit in red. I don't know why. The very last moment, I changed from Canva into PowerPoint and something happened. So once that I clarify all this, I go into the presentation. And why did I choose this topic? I think it's because it's a topic that it's been, the corporate world, it's been something that I've been always concerned about. Before being coach, I worked in an international bank and had to deal with many different situations. And I realized that many coaches, we have a corporate background, and also realized that many of us decide not to go back to the corporate world once that we know coaching. And I asked myself why this happens. And I understand that there's also some I don't know what to call it, suffering, but people not having fun in the work. So it's something that I keep reading about. It's what I talk about with my clients. I go to training courses, so it's something that is always there. So I started to, first of all, to understand what is called culture in an organization. So you will probably know this scheme where there are visible things or visible behaviors, metrics, things that you can touch and measure and everything, but the invisible values, beliefs, assumptions, that they are part also of the culture of an organization. I took this definition from Kat Potter, who is one of the, best authors in this topic. And he says that culture consists of a group of norms of behaviors and the underlying shared values that help keep those norms in place. And what does, where does culture come from? It usually comes from the founders of the group, the things they valued, and the values that helped them succeed in the past. If they succeeded with these values, it becomes a habit and it becomes part of the DNA. So when I started working as a coach, I realized that I had some assumptions and some beliefs around the organization. Some of them were helping me, but some others were the opposite, were limiting me. Because I thought, for example, I thought that change was impossible, strange things about organizations that didn't help me when accompanying clients. So what I did, I was starting to read and see different models that helped me understand that there were other options and to challenge my assumptions. So first of all, I would like to ask you, when you think about an organization or a company or about the corporate world, what ideas, what feelings, what comes to your mind? And this, if you can answer randomly, please, if you want.
Terry
levantó la mano. Terry, can you please? I'm sorry.
I was thinking of Sun, of course, and I believe we all share a belief that it is possible to know your life purpose and live on it, and when you, not necessarily 100%, but aim for the most you can, and that actually will have a big belief, a big impact on humanity. I think that's one of our underlying beliefs that we all share.
Very good, because that's a very positive belief that helps us grow. Yes, and what other beliefs or assumptions do we have about organizations? Javier Sanchez?
Yes, really. What comes to my mind is that for the reason that an organization is a group of people with many sets of, with individual set of beliefs and behaviors, change turns out to be more complex compared when we're talking about an individual, because an individual can decide, and if she or he decides to change, that's a big first step. In organizations, everything is a little bit more trickier and complicated.
Yes. Thank you. Complexity. Yes. Any other intervention? I don't know if I see all of you. Okay, so what I realized that by reading books and by talking to different people, I started to realize that there are different models. It's not that they exist, it's that they help me organize my knowledge. And sometimes this is helping me. For example, I recognize, and maybe you can do it too, that there are top-down organizations where the decisions are taken in the top. Some other organizations are more humanistic. They perhaps reinforce participation, relations, and love in a way, relationships. Some others are more perhaps delegative. I like are network organizations where the decisions are taken by a team, and maybe the manager only supports but no more. So we can see different structures. I discovered this book, Reinventing Organizations, from Frederic Laloux, which I really suggest you to. If you are interested in these topics, I invite you to read it. Because he has classification of companies, he puts different colors depending on their values, depending on their processes, how they make decisions, what are their beliefs, and how they make money, how they organize themselves. And they start from the very low level, let's see, sorry, which is like the clan organization, the tribe, to organizations that maybe they go from the hierarchical system until they become more unstructured. Hello? Okay. And they have like a final, the final organization is the teal organization, which is this blue one, where this self-managed organization. There's practically there's no management. There's even sometimes the goals are very flexible. They're really focused on purpose and not so much in goals and performance. So I don't want to go, I mean, I don't want to stay longer in this part because I think it could take 2-3 classes, but what I want to let you know is that reading these books and going to different conferences and seeing different success stories in companies made me realize that maybe I could increase or enlarge my perspective about organizations. And one of the approaches that I like most is the systemic approach, because it allows me to see organizations as more than in a mechanical way. I don't know if I have the image here. Sorry. Oh, where is it? Not so much as a linear thing, process-oriented, hierarchical. See, organizations as living beings. So, for example, like a forest, like a group of birds or whatever. So this approach helped me see the connections or understand that organizations are complex and to focus on the connections and how these connections impact the environment and how the environment impact those connections. And for example, I use the systemic approach in coaching when I help clients focus in their relations and interconnections and how they impact their teams with their decisions, how clients are affected by their decisions, or how are they impacted by other parts of the organization. So it's an approach that I like to use when I look at clients as a living, I mean, organizations as living systems. So, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is, what are the changes that you are seeing or feeling in the culture of the companies you're working with now? Could be your clients, could be partners, could be your own company, in the industry. What are the changes you're noticing?
Can you repeat the last word? What are the changes
you're seeing, feeling, now, hearing, noticing, or realizing?
I can't find my little hand thing, but I'm here. I have a question. I have a thought.
Denise, go ahead.
I think there's a lot more information out there and a focus on diversity and making sure that staffing is appropriate, but much more attention is being placed on looking at diverse individuals. It's not about all, no offense, all white males anymore. And it had been moving forward. I was in a couple of different corporations, and it was already started back in the 90s and the early 2000s. But now it's much more prevalent. How that's being done with making decisions, I think we're finding that we're looking at people with very, very good backgrounds and very strong skill sets. And so they're looking at what's the other parts of the issues, which is, you know, people that are much more holistic, as you were talking about before, humanistic and holistic approaches. So that's a piece of what I'm seeing now with culture and companies.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to build on what Denise said. What I'm hearing and finding, and I'm not internal to these, so I'm hearing it from other people who are internal, is that instead of looking at the skills and achievements, they are looking for people who can learn and be flexible on the job, much more so than having to have the perfect resume. They look at potential. That's the word. I know a number of people who've gotten jobs where they don't have the skill, but they have the potential, and they get right in there and show it.
Thank you. What else? Okay. Well, so I'll go ahead. So I was reflecting, what coaching brings to that, that we all know, because I think nothing of what I put here is new for all of you. I just put it together, but I would like probably you to help me build on that, so about what coaching brings to corporate culture change. For example, what you've said, Denise, it brings, I mean, we are in more diversity oriented organizations. How can coaching help with diversity? Or how can coaching help with learning profiles, learning organizations rather than expert organizations? So I think coaching brings lots of opportunities for what is going on now in organizations. And these are the list of things, or maybe it's more like a map or something put here about what brings us. For example, what brings to the companies to bring abstract ideas. For example, all the time, clients talk about certain things in a very general wording, like, high achievement, things like that. It's concepts all the time. So helping our clients bring all these abstract ideas and concepts in practical things or axioms, it's something that we coaches are able to do, and when they become behaviors, it's easier that they expand in the organization. So it's easier that culture changes. What are the things we coaches do? We build spaces where people can innovate and co-create, where anyone can develop strategies to improve their work. We are used to work with polarities, change and conservation, performance versus well-being. Coaching is also between sessions that we can make small experiments while realizing what is their potential. What other things, for example, we've all lived with the pandemic, how remote management has shifted our way of thinking about management. So now trust is possible, whereas before we thought it wasn't possible. So, So this shows us that sometimes technology helps us change paradigms, like in the pandemic. So many others. I don't know if you have any more ideas, any more suggestions, or in your experience, what coaching brings to the culture change.
Lourdes, I want to stay space, and you say space, but I want to speak about different space.
Different space, okay.
Yeah, different space that it gives to the employee, the client, to be who they, sorry, you can't see me, but they can be who they want to be, and it's between us, and they can bring, like today someone asked me, I can speak about personal thing or only professional thing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was so strange. What does it mean professional and what does it mean personal? You're bringing yourself, right? And she was so happy. We didn't say anything, only say that you can bring whatever you want, right? This is the time for you. And I think this is the organization that understands that it gives them space and legitimate to be who they are without need to be, to say things that the organization expect them to say. I think this is the
yes.
Very important.
Yes, very nice. And if I can add on that, if you say, bring yourself, when you say bring yourself, so you put in a, like a little seed, planting a seed, where there is permission to be oneself in an organization. And it has an impact. Okay, Terry, you raise your hand. Come on. Terry?
Well, thank you. It's curious, synchronistically, I'm preparing a presentation for one of the communities of practice. And yes. I talk about coaching being a model of collaborative partnership. Partnership is mentioned 14 times in the competencies, so... So people involved with coaching, both the coaches and the clients, have a model for collaboration and partnership.
Yes.
And that is a huge contribution without us even putting it on the agenda. It happens.
Yes,
I think.
It is. Yes, we are modeling equal relationships,
right.
Which is like breaking the hierarchical mindset.
Okay.
So, more contributions? Okay. So, also one of my investigations was about positive deviance, which is, it's based on the, well, I will read it for you. It's based on the observation that in every community there are certain individuals or groups whose uncommon behaviors and strategies enable them to find better solutions to problems than their peers, while having access to the same resources and facing the same similar or worse challenges. With this idea in mind, because one of my assumptions was that change has to happen from top to down, it has to be part of a big organizational project. But with this idea in mind, I started thinking on all my clients, individual, teams, groups, and then I realized how I was impacting. I mean, I'm talking about myself, but I'm sure all of you, all of us are impacting. I'm not sure how much aware we are on how much we are impacting, because sometimes we don't see the results immediately, or sometimes maybe we don't pay attention to the impact we are having in our clients. So I realize that there are individuals that are having a big impact in their organizations. For example, of course, someone at the top can do things more easily. Of course, it can be a role model, but I've seen people that are not at the top, maybe they are in a second or third level in an organization. And I remember one particularly, I don't know if you know this story about the bricklayers. There are three bricklayers. They are asked, what are you doing? And the first says, I'm laying bricks. The second says, I'm building a church. And the third one says, I'm building the house of God. So the first one had a job, the second one had a career, and the third one had a purpose or a call, they say. So this client, I was remembering one client in a company, he was the head of maintenance production of a big company, well, multinational, I don't remember exactly the role, but he took his role as if he was really, he said to me that he, with his partners, they were changing the story of the organization. He started to build a purpose-driven organization. So when I remember that guy, I said, look, so there is an impact of single people together with others. Maybe they can change things. Then I remember another client. This one is, he's in the middle level, and there's a lot of craziness in the company. When I say craziness, is that moment when the business realizes they have to change things, they have to update, to transform, digitalize, to have like the new trends in management, and then everything comes together. Everything at the same time, and this poor guy has to deal with all these different approaches. And I see him as in Aikido, as in martial art, the way he manages all these strengths and all this pressure. And he says that from all these different interventions, coaching is the best one. This is between us, but he's dealing with all of that. He's trying to do, to choose the best approach, and he's changing because he has a team, so he's changing the way they do things. He works in the retail business. They do things in that business. Well, in their company, in his company. Then I see, when I look at the group level, I see some changes. I see some influential groups. For example, people who are working in digital transformation, but working as change agents inside a team of change agents. For example, it could be someone from the finance department who has a role as a change agent for the digital transformation. So, again, I see how they are transforming and they are influencing their environments. For example, there are thousands of examples of how can groups influence at their level. For example, coming back to the same example, change agents sometimes just need, there's a lot of removing obstacles and stretching themselves and everything. And when there is, this is something I think it's very bad, it's a normal curve, but this pink line here shows that on the left of the curve, there's always a number of people that are enthusiastic. They want to change the world. They probably will help you push changes. Maybe most of them, the majority of people, will resist to change, but there's a small group in all organizations that they want to do things differently. So if you focus on that people, and there is a number, sufficient number of people who push, I don't like this word, motivates others or influences others in the way they started to behave, then maybe there's, I don't know, because I don't have a long-term experience seeing what are the results in the long term. But I hope that these changes will perdure in the future. So there are many at a team level also, for example, in an innovative, a very innovative team, they were working on getting some more structure in their daily work, and then they had a multiplier effect in the rest of the company. So there are many examples where I see that there is an impact. I don't know how much we are impacting, but for sure I think we are impacting companies. I would like to have your views or your experiences with perhaps some examples in your business where you can see or you can perhaps find that there is an impact that you are making in your clients and how they are transforming their organizations.
So one just sort of overall shift that I'm seeing as a pattern with certain clients is a shift from managers, especially senior leadership, going from everyone else needs to do their job better to I need to do my job better. There's a switch from this sort of top down, how do I make them be more productive? How do I make them be better? And recognizing that they have to start with themselves. And by making themselves better, they are then better leaders that starts to change the culture of the organization.
Great. Yes. Who else? Any other? Thank you, Alexis. Javier Sánchez levantó la mano. Javier Sánchez?
I wanted to share that while listening to your presentation, Lourdes, it came to my mind how little the coaching culture is installed in my company. As many of you know, I work for a company, and so far, it's been used more, or it's been perceived more as a tool for performance management programs. When things are going a little bit bad for someone, now they get a coach. And I think that's limiting heavily the potential of the impact that coaching might bring to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So just sharing that realization that I had.
Thank you. Any other comments? Terry?
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
Oh, you're welcome. I risk saying this, but I'm thinking of the organization we know called ICF. And there are many changes going on as a member of the organization. I'm not clear how decisions are made and policies are made. And it gnaws at me that I'm not clear about that. So there's changes, but there's a rift in the culture that I'm aware of far beyond myself about how this is being communicated, and it reflects the current culture.
Yeah.
Can I just say also, I think part of it for me was the decision about Russia and coaches in Russia and what the decision was made with regard to that. So I concur.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like transparency is at risk, And it's also an issue with power. The
and communication.
Carla? Yeah. Carla? Carla? Thank you, Carla.
Thank you. In my opinion, there's a main issue here, which is the difference between what they say and what they do. There are so many companies that want to show the world a culture, and they behave that way when there's a camera on, but when they switch the camera off, it's very different, and they don't believe in what they say. And for me, that's the main issue there.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yes, I think it's lack of congruency. And how do our clients lead those paradoxes?
I think a coaching helps them to make distance between the ideal culture and the ideal situation and the real facts and actions. Coaching allows teams and individuals to find new ways to be more coherent, as you say, congruent with the ideal message, with the mission, with the purpose, and so on.
Now I was remembering that I had a coaching conversation this morning, and this lady was, I mean, the outcome was, I'm going to talk to my boss and find out what, what was it, change driven means, because, I mean, she was taking these words. I mean, she should be change-oriented. But at the end, she was so stressed. She was so confused. And then she after the conversation, she realized that she had taken that definition for granted, and she was going to come back and ask her boss, what is your definition? What is a change-oriented for you? Which behaviors? So, maybe this is nothing, but I think, in a way, we are teaching the organizations, I mean, to be more precise, to be more, I mean, through our coaching conversations, they learn how to have different type of conversations with more quality. And as you say, Alfonso, to take some distance between the official culture and what really happens in organizations, and not believe everything. Okay, so I didn't want to call these conclusions, because I don't have any conclusions at all, but I put some here. I call it food for thought, which is organizations change when people change. Also, when organizations change, people change. So it's one of these things where there's no cause and effect, it's all mixed. These are some of my thoughts, and I'm pretty sure you may have different ideas, and we can discuss them. We can influence others, colleagues, partners, managers, in more ways than we recognize. Although the speed of change is increasing, the culture change takes time. It's not something you can impose. It's not something top down. Do it because these are the values. Remember them and then act. Embrace them and behave very fast. No. also, if you understand that organizations like living beings, they evolve, and there are growth crises. The moments where, for example, authority could be necessary in a moment in an organization, like a child needs clear direction when it's very little, it's a child. Then he starts to have his own ideas. And so, like, living beings change, organizations, they need to change their processes. So one of the best, I think, more advisable, the better advice for a company would be to be aware of how are they evolving, what's happening, what is emerging, pay attention to the emerging things. Because maybe there are signs that the organization needs a change. Of course, having a mindset to listen to everyone in the organization, because sometimes top management, they don't realize what's going on very far away from the head offices. I believe that we are impacting, but maybe we don't see the results, or maybe the results may happen somewhere else, and maybe they will happen in the future, or maybe the impact will be somewhere else, and we are not seeing it, but it's happening. And this is also part of my systemic beliefs. That's all for today. I thank all my clients and partners and teachers and all the situations and books that allow me to experiment with different perspectives. And thank to all of you for participating. And now, if you want to, we can open a dialogue until the time is over. We have 15 minutes.
Can you please write down in the chat the book that you were talking about?
The Frédéric Laloux.
Yes.
It's interesting because Laloux is not saying that there is a model that is better than any other. What he suggests is that it's good to learn about all the different models, because then you are more flexible, and then you can perhaps include part of one model into another, and you have more options. Maybe even if it looks paradoxical, it could be an organization could be very directive in certain times, and probably more participative in other times. So it's a bit, I would like to have something like, this is what you have to do, and this is clear, step 1, 2, and 3, but it's not like that. So that's what I found out, and it's just being flexible and being open to see different ways of managing organizations. Terry?
Thank you. I'm really in deep thought now, and I'm going to make this personal, because I know I've been a perfectionist for years and years, and I probably will continue to be a perfectionist. But with what you were saying, I think it was Alfonso, talked about the ideal. Who did that? The ideal, yes. Versus the real. And what awareness I've had recently is that if I wasn't a perfectionist, I wouldn't be striving for something. I'm always striving for more, for ways of it being better. For the vision. You could say ideal is our vision. And without that, I would be lost. So change, for the first time, I am beginning to like it with that new model.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense without having to say more?
Oh, yeah.
And this reinforced it very much. So I thank you for allowing me to go down that path.
Mm-hmm. I am curious because I know that some of you have been top managers in big companies and they have experience with coaching. Could you say what and how coaching impacted in your business, in your company, in terms of cultural change?
I will jump in, Alfonso. It's kind of what I shared some moments ago, but my reflection was the little use, or the very limited use that we were using of coaching in the organization. And because first it was more performance oriented, or as someone says, like onboarding or purposes, which I think is just a minor picture, no, but part of the whole picture. And on a parallel like dimension, it was much more performance-based, based on tasks or objectives to be accomplished. In other words, more focused on the doing and less focused on the being.
Mm-hmm.
And that also limits, of course, the potential. So in the experience that I've had from within the company, I think we have a big missed opportunity on this front, on all the benefits that a more pervasive coaching and a more holistic one across the organization can help, can bring to the table.
Thank you.
Kurt, or Kurt, yeah. I don't know how to say.
Yeah, Kurt is okay.
No problem. Kurt, thank you, Kurt.
No, thank you. And thank you, Alfonso, to raise the point. And I want to share what is my experience. I have a whole different position in transactional and international companies as a CEO. And now I'm entering in the coaching world. As I spoke with different colleagues, I want to see the coaching process, as Javier mentioned before, is not to correct what is the performance of one person. And that coaching as well is not the flavor of the month that we are going to demonstrate to the people, that we're going to give them an opportunity to improve. Now, when one colleague that I have, we are entering a different process. We want to build a storytelling inside of one company that we are working on right now. For example, we start right now with a high level conversation of the manager of this company to understand what is his vision, what is the mission and vision and he expect at the end of the day. And we enter another three stage process to improve the coaching inside of the company, but not only inside of the company, if not as well, how we improve the benefits for the people that they understand what are the benefits of the coaching. This means, for example, we start with an organizational survey to understand what is this company current situation. Based on that, the survey that we made include, for example, what are the corporate values, to align the corporate values with the person's values, what is presence in the company or not, because we need to go in deep to understand if we are going to provide a coach for the leaders of other persons in the organization, we need to align, let's say, back to the basics. What is the vision? What are the purpose? What do they expect? And we're building a storytelling. We just finalized the organizational survey and values. Now we are working to improve their values, how to live, how to means for each of the company, each values. And the third stage of the process is to enhance the coaching inside of the different leaders. This is that I call in the process a nice storytelling to give an understanding coaching as a gift, not as a process by itself. It's the gift, how we improve based on the previous work that we already made. They understand, live, and improve using the coaching approach and methodology to improve their personal life, the company values, and the result for the company. This is more or less that we are working, and I want to share with all of you as a process that we are working on right now.
Thank you very much. Storytelling is a good suggestion. Any more insights? Liliana?
Yes. Hello, yes, Liliana. I can give you my experience in a medium company, not a big company. We use coaching, as Javier said, when there is a problem, okay? I mean, a leadership problem, a manager problem, okay? But I am using my coaching skills to improve processes. I use coaching questions and to hold the people who use the processes to work. And we define our purpose for the process, our goals, and we define the actual situation, the ideal situation, and how can we work to go to the ideal situation. Process talking, okay? Not people talking. It's not coaching for people, it's coaching for process. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And in which way? Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, I use coaching questions, okay? And to improve ways of working. And the methodologies of working. And of course, after that, there is another ways also of improving processes that is not about coaching, okay? And but you can see if you want to. There is models of continuous improvement for organizations, lean, Kaizen, etc. They are using lean coaching methodologies, mm-hmm. and the results are very, very nice. People mm-hmm. like to work that way to improve.
Thank you very much. Someone else? Terry?
I'm Gabby today. I remember, and someone else will remember, because this person was in the same organization as me years ago, when I had an opportunity to present to the executive team, president and everybody up there. Mm. And I was in the training. I was a director of training. And I did a survey of the organization, just myself, not a formal thing, about what were the values they thought, the people, the employees, the managers, what values they thought the organization had. And we tallied it and I presented it. After, I asked the senior executives, what do you think the people in the organization think the values are of this organization? And they were so different. The outcome was, I wish I was a coach then. The outcome was I got to double my budget and triple my staff. They were so shocked that the people in the organization didn't know the values. So it's a strategy I pass on. But you need coaches. Now we've got that. I'm not in the organization anymore. So.
Thank you, Terry. I don't know if there was another hand there. I know. Yeah. Hi, Liliana, have you raised your hand again?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the same hand.
Okay. And Alfonso, you were going to say something?
I am getting more and more aware of the importance of communicating values, communicating common purposes, mission, however you call it. My experience is that even unstructured teams, when they go through the team purpose, they start realizing that they are working in the same direction, or they could work in the same direction. And when you know the intention of your colleague at the workplace, then it's easier to share a culture.
Yes.
Then it's easier that the others understand why he or she is doing what they are doing. So a first important step is doing whatever you may know better than me, doing something for stressing the importance of communicating. Mm-hmm. What are the intentions behind the change of culture? Because sometimes CEOs, excuse me, Kurt, may not be aware of what are you changing the culture for.
Right. So how many coaches?
And the people working there don't know what for. We are right. Going through this big process. What for?
Right. So how
and
many?
This is not so much a coaching thing, but something that coaches may help leaders to understand.
Leadership, correct.
Well, it's for coaches too. How many coaches does it take to change a light bulb? None if the light bulb doesn't want to change.
Yeah.
So. Thank you, Lourdes.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Oh, yes, I just would like to say something to Alfonso, which is when these values are very much top-down, I think it doesn't work. But when you are receptive, it's not so much pushing, but it's more like listening what emerges, what are the natural values that emerge in your team. I think that has more value, which is, I think, our life purpose facilitation process is, it's an emerging process because it's based on what emerges from inside out. Mm. It's not so much inventing something from the top. So, well, thank you very much.
Thank you to you.
Thank you for your interventions. You help me a lot.
I hope this is the first of many.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.